dear Lord and our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are grateful, we are thankful unto thee, Master, for this grace that we have once again to be in your house, to be in your divine presence, Lord, for this midweek prayer meeting. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your help unto us in Sunday that we left here with the blessing of the Almighty God, Master, that you bless us so sweet. We are grateful, we are thankful unto thee for your protection, Master, your cares, your love, your mercy, your kindness and your goodness unto us all the time. Lord Jesus, we pray you take all the glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Be with us, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just commit ourselves to your great holy hands, Master. Forgive our sins, our wrongs, and our mistakes. May they all come under thy blood, O loving Savior, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Help us in this service, Heavenly Father. May you hear through your word through us, Father. Speak through us, Heavenly Father. Give us understanding. Give us revelation. Speak to our hearts, Heavenly Father. And may you accomplish your purpose in the midst of your people. Heal the sick and the afflicted. Take the saints of God to higher heights. Restore the backsliders to the fellowship of the saints of the Almighty God. Fill with the Holy Ghost and refill with the Holy Ghost, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, at the time of prayer, may you help us to pray, Master. Anoint us, Heavenly Father. Inspire us, O living God. Help us to pray, Master, with groanings in our hearts, O living God. With the spirit of Master, intercession and supplication, may you pray in us, Heavenly Father. Hear our humble cry, Lord. Grant all our heart desires, Lord. Manifest yourself in our lives and let your name be glorified, Father. Thank you for granting all these requests, Lord. Blessed be thy name, Master. We commit your servants in other places to your great holy hands, Master. Especially our brother that is in Bakatari. May you be with him, Heavenly Father, also. See him through, O God, and bring him back safely, Heavenly Father. Thank you for granting all these requests, Father. Blessed be thy name, Master. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. You are welcome to the service of the Lord this evening. Let's quickly take our Bible and read from the book of Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, we read verses 1 to 8. All right. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. May the Lord Jesus add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. Because of our time, I quickly want us to settle down and listen to this same sermon. No, Brother Brown preached this sermon, hear ye him, in many places, many times. So, no, like I said, it's an evangelical sermon that Brother Brown preached. So, and I only wish that we could take it on the surface as it is preached. Praise you, the Lord. I said, if you want to go into adoption,
You can take the sermon, adoption, part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, and study. So, but this is just an evangelical sermon. Praise ye the Lord. This evening, by the grace of God, we want to take the sermon that he preached in 5609-30A. 5609-30A. I want to read. So just listen attentively. 5609-30A. We'll start our reading from paragraph 12. There are nuggets in it. That is why we want to go through it. Alright. So God, before the foundation of the world, on Sunday by the grace of God, we will recap. There is no time for us to recap today. So God, before the foundation of the world, knew that you will be here. He knew you by name before the foundation of the world. Think of it. And many times we sing that, we sing the song, new names written down in glory tonight. It was an herald. It was written down before there ever was a human being on the earth. Your names were written in the last book of life. Amen. Think of it. The Bible said that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, taking 4,000 years for that to materialize. 4,000 years later, he was actually slain. But when God spoke the word in the beginning, he was slain right then, because God's word can't fail. See it? And the Bible said in Revelation, the last chapter of Revelation, that the beast would deceive all those that dwell upon the earth, whose name were not written in the last book of life from the foundation of the world. Don't that make you happy? Think that our names were written before the foundation of the world. When the Lamb was slain, our names was associated with him. Amen. What a picture and what a truth. Now, this picture upon Mount Transfiguration, as it is called, could be approached from many different angles. But for the sake of time, we want to take it this afternoon or this evening as God gathering three people. And there is a confirmation or a witness in the word of God. I want you to see it. He taking Peter, James, and John. Now faith, hope, and charity. Peter, of course, we always know is that great bully faith that just reach out after it, whether you can see it or not. And hope, that is James. And John was charity, because John, even his epistles were called the epistles of love. John once was different. You know, he was the one who wanted to call fire down out of heaven and destroy his city, because he wouldn't give him something to eat down there. So mistreated him, and he wanted to burn the whole thing up. And then after Jesus got a hold of him, it changed him to a man of love. Praise the Lord. And that is what God does when he's taking some of those hard-hearted fellows like myself and you, and he changes us from our selfish and indifferent motives to a love that we just love him and melt our hearts away. Now, he taking those as a witness. It was one great way we could approach it this afternoon as the coming of the Lord. See, the first a Moses, then Elijah, and then Jesus. Then we notice that Peter, while he was there, he had just been freshly inspired, because he's just given a witness to who Jesus was, and he was inspired. Now, when a man is inspired, he has read the word. He has read the inspired word. May I take that again? Now, when a man is inspired, he reads the inspired word, the two inspirations together gives a result. Now, you can never, no matter how well you study the word, it will never do you no good till you are inspired yourself. It takes your inspiration. The word is already inspired on its own. So what we need today is an inspiration overhaul. God sweeping that with a new inspiration and breathe overhaul his power and his love and himself, that it might inspire us to quicken us and waken us to his word. And then the word being brought into that spirit of inspiration, then you will see miracle happen and things take place, because the two just come together, the inspired word and the man that is inspired. Praise the Lord. And as Brother Joseph, I think he just printed a message that I was preaching in Shreveport on the dope and the lamb. Many of you have read it. How that the only two that could get along, the dove was the meekest of all the birds of heaven, and the lamb was the meekest of all the animals on earth, and the dove could not come and abide upon a wolf. It will not abide upon a hill nature. Because her nature was different. So she could only abide where the nature was the same as us. And that is the way it is this afternoon or this evening. If our nature becomes converted from the things of the world to the nature of the Holy Spirit, God will take his stand and he will abide in us. Inspired believer, taking in the inspired word. Those two together brings the result. It brings the word to life. The inspiration that is in you, in your heart, puts the word to living. You could take a grain of corn and lay it on the desk, no matter how well it is polished, and it might be 40 carats, it will never produce any more corn, no matter how pretty the desk is. How genuine the gold is laid on, or how re-dramatized the corn is. The corn is going to fall in rich fertile depths to bring forth results. Amen. Oh, I love it. And when the word of God is put into a fertile ground of the inspired believer, it produces just exactly what God said it will do, because it can't fail. It's God's eternal word. God to waken the people. God to bring us to something when the word is received. And that is the inspiration. And man is in no condition outside of repentance. He is no condition to receive the word until he has been inspired. Praise the Lord. Let's jump to 21, paragraph 21. Alright. Look at the beginning of human race. When our father and mother were driven from the Garden of Eden, and in that great tragic time, notice that when Cain and Abel came to worship the Lord, they both came and religiously. Alright. Oh, sorry. Okay. Let's go on. And religiously, both just one as religious as the other. Cain was just as religious as Abel was. And they both built altars. They both feared God. They both worshipped. They both brought offering and laid on the altar. Cain trying to appease God and trying to find favor with him with sincerity. Many times, people think sincerity does it. That doesn't do it. Watch. Take note and watch. Let me say that again. Many times, people think sincerity does it. That doesn't do it. there is a way that seemeth right to a man. And if there is anything that man ought to be sincere about, is about your eternal destination. That is right. A few days ago, or a few weeks ago, when I helped pull 8 Chicago men out of the airplane right behind my house, piece of ham, or what? And intestines hanging on the trees, and head laying out in the field. I thought then that men ought. Have I preached Chicago hard enough? Have I done everything as the men set in my ministry, under my ministry? Have I preached Christ to those poor souls that met eternity in a moment of time on their way to a convention? Did I ever have the opportunity when I seen them pull the pieces of the men from place to place? Did they know the Lord Jesus? Where they are now, they can never go from the state they are in now. After death, no reformation. After death, no change. After death, you will meet God the way we were before death. May God help us. So, if there's anything we need to be sincere about, it's about our eternal destination. May God help us. Then I wonder, had we better be deeply sincere, no matter what it costs us? Sometimes it costs a great price to be sincere, but we better be sincere, and on the right thing, we better be sincere. Praise the Lord. We can be sincerely wrong if we are sincere on the wrong thing, but we need to be sincere on the right thing. Praise you, the Lord. As I passed by and seeing the heathens worshipping where they had born their children. A man that will born his children is sincere, but is what? Sincerely wrong. Where they had born their children, and where they feed them on the crocodiles and so forth, and all kinds of human sacrifice, beating one another and laying on spikes out, and looking at the sun till they go blind with the deepest of sincerity, and yet wrong. We must be more than sincere. We must be inspired by the word of God that we bring Christ to his word and blend them together and make it speak and act just like it did in the days of old. It's got to be that. Praise the Lord. Paragraph 25. There is another picture. Look at that. It was a placing of a son of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when a child was born, a boy, in the Old Testament, when a child was born in a home, it was given tutorship by a tutor, which is a very beautiful picture of the son today, that is born in the father's house. Now we read in St. John chapter 14, in my father's house are many mansions. So we Western people, that doesn't sound right. You have to go to the east to know what that means. The house was the kingdom, and the real way to translate that in our day will be, in my father's kingdom are many palaces. Another translator said, in my father's apartment house are many apartments. He was up too. But in my father's kingdom are many palaces, because what the father hold was all this great province, this great place that he hold. And he had servants all over the place, And when his son was born, he gave a correct tutor, one that was sufficient to educate his child and to promote him and to bring him up to an honorable man. And how beautiful the Father of Heaven, when he made his church, he gave us a tutor, the best there was in heaven, one that is worthy, that and guides us and leads us. That is the Holy Spirit. Is a tutor to the church to bring it up in the admiration of God. And then the Father, after he had given the tutor the right to raise his son, the tutor had to bring words to the Father. How the son was progressing. Now, yet, he was heirs of all things, but yet he didn't come into legal possession until there was a ceremony. He had fully done that which was right and was a worthy. Now, many people are on earth today, and I say this with all respect. There are perhaps many certain right here who is absolutely living under your privilege as sons and daughters of God. I won't say you will be lost. No, because when God says and then loses, then Abraham somewhere said, then it's not infinite. If he will save you today and lose you tomorrow, it means he doesn't know tomorrow. But our God knows tomorrow from even the beginning. Praise ye the Lord. Well, I'm not trying to preach doctrine. I'm only saying, if God, now if you are not just mentally worked up, but if God saves you, knowing he is going to lose you, he defeats his purpose. He don't do that. When he saves you, you are saved. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall never come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. As so you are still a son and daughter, but you are living under your privileges, and your conduct each day, as the Holy Spirit brings it before the Father, gives away the things that you do, and you are still a son and daughter, but you will never be brought to the place where you should be. Great gifts that are in the church are so misused. No reverence to it. A bunch of carrying on until it even brings disgrace to the public. How that the Holy Spirit would like to govern that, bring it down. Paragraph 29, please. Notice now, as the son became up, tutored, brought up, getting more matured, that is the church today being brought up. Since all Azusa Street and many of the great authorities, the church is being raised up. But now, instead of getting up into a classic site like Cain did, let's stay under the blood. That is what the Father required, is under the blood. Now notice, again, a beautiful picture. Then when the Son has become to the place of accountability, or of age, I will say 21, we'll call it today. Then if the tutor has brought a word to the Father and told him that everything was fine, this boy was a gallant man, that he was zealous of the Father's kingdom, and he has done all that could be all he could to improve and better the kingdom, then this boy had what we call placing of a child, placing of the son. The Father taketh him out into a public place and set him up before the public, the same son that had been born in his home years before. All the time his son. His all the time is what? His son. When we are When we are sons and daughters of God, we cannot be Satan's children. We cannot turn to be Satan's children. It is not possible. Once a son is a son. Once a daughter is a daughter. If God so counts you worthy to be his daughter, you are ever his daughter. If God counts you worthy to be his son, you are ever his son. But Abraham said, except you are washed up and think that you are saved when you are not saved. But if a man is genuinely filled with the Holy Ghost, he is ever a son of God or a daughter of God. Nothing can change him to be a daughter of the devil. It's not possible. God don't save you today and do what? Lose you tomorrow. God is not like that. May God help us. Praise ye the Lord. All right. You cannot get. All right. The father taketh him out into a public place and set him up before the public. His son, his same son that had been born in his home years before. All the time his son, but his character and his conduct has brought him to another office. I hope you see it. The character of the Pentecostal and Baptist and Presbyterian, our character should have us up into a place where we can be in an office to meet the crisis of this hour that we are in. What a shame we have, but will God answer in a time of crisis? He will not only answer, but he will make manifest in the time of crisis. If the people assemble together, no matter if two or three, whether it, whatever it is, and pray there, he said he will hear from heaven. And notice, as the tutor brought message, and the father finally taketh the son to the place where he was to be manifested. Let's jump again and come to 31C. 31C. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 31C. I hope you are following. Oh, many are not following. Are we following? God bless you. All right. I wish we could get to where I want us to get. Anyway. Will you just give me 5-10 minutes? Am I permitted? Alright, God bless you. Then we see, then after the father, did I tell you 31C? Okay. Alright. Then we see, then after that the father then taking his son out and robe him in a beautiful robe and set him out before the public as an example, as an enzyme and all manifestation, and declared, this is my son. And he received in the ceremony the right. In other words, his name on the check will be just as good at the bank as his own father's name, for he was a heir of all things. Praise God. I'm so glad that one of these days God will come. He will manifest his church. He will be heir of all things then. Now Jesus, God taking his son Christ up to the mount of transfiguration before three witnesses, love, hope, and faith. Those three elements, the sufficient elements to work out every problem the church has. Let me read that again. God taking his son Christ up to the mount transfiguration before three witnesses, love, hope, and faith. Those three elements, the sufficient elements to work out every problem the church has. You let faith, hope, and charity get in among the people in a church and watch what takes place. So he manifests his son before all these great elements, hope, faith, and charity. Now I want you to notice on under the cloud were three others: Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Three on a confirmation, confirm anything. God was confirming in the Trinity of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Not three gods. One God confirmed in three manifestations. God manifested himself as a Father. Then he manifested himself in the Son. Then manifested himself in the Holy Spirit. The same God every time. So that is not hard to see. They cause so much fuss about it. Well, that is not hard. That is simple. God manifesting himself. And here God is manifesting himself on Mount Transfiguration before hope, faith, and charity. Love, watch him. Now Peter, upon receiving the vision, I like to be present where God is doing things. Don't you? Oh, I imagine how the other disciples wish they would have been. They would have went up. I just love to be there where God is doing things. He's taking them apart. I like that. God doesn't take great denominations apart. He takes individual apart to speak with them. He takes you apart to speak with you. Sometimes, over in a closet, when you feel led to go and you don't go, then you might miss something. God wants you to go to church. And he wants to manifest something to you through his word, through some move that he's making. You fail to go, you will miss seeing something. Oh, I imagine when Peter, James, and John comes up that mountain, they wouldn't have missed that for nothing. Wish I had been there. Don't you? To have seen that. And when he set them up there and he manifested himself. Now watch. Peter got all inspired again. And he wanted to have a real fellowship. He said, let us build here three tabernacles. He was going to really have some denominations. He said, now we are going to build one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for you. We will just have a segregation here. We will have three different churches and we will have three different denominations all represented here. Peter thought he was just doing fine when he did that. And we notice, look at this. Then a shadow come down, or a cloud, and they look at Jesus, and his garments shine like the sun. God manifesting his son, setting him apart from Moses, set him apart from Elijah, set him apart from denomination. He set him up there, and they look back and saw Jesus only. Amen. And a voice from heaven say, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. Look, Moses represented the law. And no man can keep the law. The law was given to Israel because they required it. Exodus 19 was the greatest mistake that Israel ever made. After grace has provided a lamb, provided a savior, and they said, give us something to do. There is the way man tries to do today, is to merit their salvation. And there is no one thing you can do about it. It is all amazing grace. Oh, I love it. Nothing you can, not by works, but by grace are ye saved. That of merited grace, God, through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, has saved you and called you by his own grace. There Moses represented the law. No man is saved by the works of the law. But yet Peter wanted to build a denomination around it. Said, we will just build three tabernacles. We will build one for Moses because let those who wanted to keep the law keep the law. That is all right. Let them keep the law. Then he said, we will build one for Elijah. And Elijah represented not the law, but represented God's purity, his holiness, his judgment. Elijah represented God's righteousness. He stands righteousness. For where Elijah set on his feet, sorry, Elijah, they sent to him 50s, and he called fire out of heaven and burned them up. He must be, we don't want God's judgment. We don't want God's law. But now, while we see standing there, how could we stand as sinner in the presence of God, of God's judgment? We could not do it. They sent men after Elijah upon the mountain, and God judged them by Elijah calling fire out of heaven, said, "If I be a holy man of God, let fire come from heaven." Oh my! There stood Moses, tooth for tooth, eye for eye. How could we ever stand by the law when no flesh is justified by the law? How will I ever stand by the fiercest judgment of God? I couldn't do it. Certainly, we will be lost and condemned and gone. But now, let us shift our eyes over here. And they saw the Moses' law and Elijah, his judgment, and had all passed away. And they saw Jesus only. He represented the love of God. It's not judgment that I call for. It's not law that I wanted to keep. It's thy mercy and love, Lord. I plead for it day and night. For it is the merit of his love that I am saved today. For the law and from the law and from the wrath and from the judgment. Love of God. That is what the law could not do. That's what the fiery judgment could not do. The love of God constrained us to Christ. Not what the denomination could do, not what those things could do, but the love of God. Jesus said, this is my beloved me. God said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. He is the only one can save. He is the only one can heal. Why will you hear him? He is the only one that has peace. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. He is the only one that has healing. And the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. He is the only one that can take away iniquity. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases. Hear ye him. Not by emotion, not by workup, not by denomination, not by law, not by creed, not by denominations, but hear ye him. He is the only one who has eternal life. He is the only one who can save you. He is the only one who can beat you and stand between man and God and bridge the way and make a way for you. No law can do it. No judgment can do it. No work can do it. Nothing but the love of Jesus. The whole salvation army song, oh precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That is why he said, hear ye him. He is the one that will stand in the valley of the shadow of death when you are dying. The law can't stand there, neither will his judgment. If it can, you can never pass over. But when I see the love of God with an outstretched hand standing there as a sacrifice for my sin, that is what I want. That is what I plead. Oh my, here some times to go over in Switzerland. Let me finish this story, please. Bear with me. Here some time ago, over in Switzerland, I was passing through a white half mountain of Switzerland. And many of you readers, too quickly do we forget this great gallant story of Helmut Wigland. Many of you has heard of him in your books. The great hero of the early days of Switzerland. When a peaceful people come down from Germany and made themselves a home up in the mountain, and they love their homeland, and you come past through there today and speak his name. Hermann von Winkeland. And when you do, tears will roll down their cheeks and their hearts will beat high for their great hero. One day, when an invading army came in and was trampling down all Switzerland, just leaving chaos behind, burning their homes, killing their children, ravaging their wives, and killing their young ones, and driving away their stock and their livelihood, burn up their farms, what they could not eat, and so forth. And great invader was coming home. Nothing could stand, nothing could stop them. They rolled rock from the mountain, and nothing could stop them. And the little Swiss army had backed up in a little corner in the plain, and there were at the end of the road. Nothing could be done. And the great army coming on with their spears set out in front of them, marching in time, and the Swiss army standing unharmed, but with such as they could find, pitchfork and pieces of metals and hammers that they could pick up. They were helpless. They were hopeless and helpless. Everything that they had tried had failed. There wasn't nothing left but chaos and ruin. Their wives were going. Their children were going. Their nation were going. Everything they had was going. Nothing could stop them. And there, the army had backed a final little handful of Swiss up into a place. And here, this great army, like a stone wall, marching with these beast spears, were trained, and they had the little Swiss army surrendered. Nothing they could do. Then Hermann von Winkeland stepped out and said, "Men of Switzerland, this day I give my life for Switzerland." He said, "Everything that you have try as failed, but over in yonder valley is a little home where my wife and children are waiting for me to return. But said, I will never see them again in this world. For this day I shall die for Switzerland." They said, "What will you do, Hermann von Winkeland?" He said, "You just follow me and fight as best you can with what you have." And he drew down his missile, and he threw down what he had in his hand, his missile, and his that missile he had in his hand, raised up his hand to heaven, and screamed, make way for liberty. And he ran towards the thickest of the spear, the other army, screaming to the top of his voice, "Make way for liberty." And as he got to the very thickest and dense of the spears of the other army, he reached out and got a great armload of them and threw them into his breast. The other army, when he was screaming and crying, "Make way for liberty," running to that army, they threw their spear, all of them threw their spears onto him. Many of the spears entered his body. As all those spears were reaching to catch him, as he made his charge, and into his bosom he plunged all those spears, and such a gallant heroic blood beating in every Swiss soldier, when they seen what they come behind him, and it rooted the army of the aliens. They broke ranks. They didn't know what to do. When they seen this gallant heart of this Hermann von Winkeland, and they run in with what they had and beat the army out of the nation and saved their homeland. And as far as I know, we have never had a war from that day to this from that day to this. No wonder their faces flashed, their eyes colored, and every tear streams down their cheeks when you speak of Hanno von Winkland to those mountain people. What he did as hero, but oh, my friend, that was a little thing. That was a little thing one day when Adam's falling race was back in a corner where the law and the judgment and the prophet and everything has been sent had failed. Nothing could be done. Human race was doomed. The great armies of air were marching on, well trained, and in their ranks, every man to his place. They are back Adam's children into the corner where they could go no further. They sent the law, they couldn't help it. They sent judgment, they couldn't listen to it. They plucked right home. They sent the prophet, they stoned them, and nothing could be done. They were back into a corner. But in glory, one day, the most precious thing of heaven stepped out before the angels of God and said, "This day I will give my life for the sons of Adam. This day will I do something that will break the rank of the enemy." The angels all said, "What will you do? What will you do?" He came to the earth as a virgin at Calvary. When he went to Calvary, stood on this earth and preached the gospel. He said, "I'm going to give some material. I want you to go up to the city of Jerusalem. I want you to wait there, for I'm going to dress you. I'm going to make you soldiers to fight against the vice of the enemy. But first, before you go into the battlefield, go up to Jerusalem and wait there. And what I give you, you follow me and fight as best as you can." There on that dark day of Calvary, the Lamb of God, the precious Son of God that came down from glory, never taking the way of a denomination. He never taking the way of some easy road. He never taking the form of some ecclesiastical system. But he went to the darkest of the roughest part of the spheres, the valley of the shadow of death. And he grabbed all the death and drew it into his bosom and died a hero. And send down the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Now, men and women, what have we got? Let's fight as we can. The hammer is broke. The rank of the enemy is broke. Divine healing is taking place. The power of God struck the church, and we are moving right on. As only we can fight with what we've got. I may not be able to perform this the way he would have it performed. I may not be to the right kind of a man, but what I have, I want to fight and go through the valley like our great hero, the Lord Jesus did, and stand at that day as armies, banners as dropped, and the enemy finally whipped, and let us fight with what we have. Praise ye the Lord. That is the summary of the sermon he preached in 5609:33-30a. Hear ye him. We have all heard, have read, all of us read it. Let us bow down our heads. Sorry that I took your time. I wanted to get this through. That was while I had to take short time. Sorry I took the time. Just bear with me. Hear ye him. It is only Jesus we should hear. Jesus only is the only one who can save us. He is the only one who can deliver us. He is the only one who can help us in this life. Because he has passed this way before. He knows the way. You don't know the way. I don't know the way. He is the only one who knew the way. He is the only one who can see us too. He is the only one who can heal us. Who is the only one who can deliver us. He is the only one who can fill us with the Holy Ghost. Hear ye him. Let's hear him once again today. And do what he says. His word is given to us to as we hear, to live by the same. Let's commit ourselves to the hand of the Lord.
Thank you.
In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. As we always say, it is not a custom. It is what we see Brother Abraham did. If you want to be remembered in prayer, if you want to need the help of faith, why don't you raise up your hand so that his servant will pray for all of us. God bless you. Apostle, God bless you, sir.
Blessed Heavenly Father, we are grateful unto you again tonight for bringing us together to sit at your feet, to look unto you, O God, for help in this race that your grace has called upon us to run. We have found out one thing, that outside of you, there is no help. That is why your word has said we should look unto you, and you alone. Our Master, answer up after we have heard your word preached, some are on the altar, raising their hands unto you. You know what those needs are. You are the only one that can meet all our needs. That is why you taught us we should cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. We have brought our cares to cast them upon you. Lord, may you show us your care, Lord. May you meet us at the point of our needs, in the name of Jesus Christ. As many as are looking unto you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, may you fill them, Lord. As many as are looking unto you for healing, you are the Lord our God that healed all our diseases. May you heal them, O Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. You have taught us, O God, that we should fear not, we should look unto you. You have taught us in your word, you said in your word, you have told us, O Father, that you are giving unto us power to tread upon serpents as scorpions and all over the powers of the enemy, and that nothing shall by any means hurt us. That is why you gave us power to cast them out, all devils, no matter what they are. O Master, we claim victory tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever our desire and needs are, we believe you have answered us. We believe you have met us at the point of our needs. As we have believed, so shall it be unto us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. As for tonight on, victory upon victory, Lord, is our possession, Lord. Thank you, our Master. Hallowed be thy name, Lord, for granting this petition. Bless your servant and replenish him for the virtue that has led him. Take all the glory and honor for granting this petition, Lord. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for coming to church. Before I hand over to the associate pastor, let's sing this song 206. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Yeah.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for making it possible for us to come to your house for this midweek service. We are grateful unto you for every aspect of the service, from the worship to the preaching and to the requests that our children have written or read. And, oh God, the ones that we have on the slide that we normally go through every time we gather. Lord, it's just a privilege you are giving to us as mortals to approach unto you very freely. We are grateful unto you. We thank you for your mercies, your favor, your blessings, your protection. It has taken us through the month of June and half of the year already. Lord, thank you, God, for helping us to start, Lord, the second half of this year. We are grateful unto you for the blessings in this service tonight. Your word that we have heard, we pray that your spirit will cement them in our heart, and may your spirit constantly remind us of those things, O God, for our profit and our benefit and our closer walk with you. Master Jesus, all that we have committed into your hand, we appreciate the thanksgiving offerings that your children have brought. Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you receive this thanksgiving offering in the name of Jesus Christ. We especially thank you for your servant, a pastor, and a wife that have been together for 50 years. Lord, that your grace has been with them. Definitely, in the language that we will say, that many waters have passed under the bridge. Lord, in it all, your grace has brought them thus far. Lord, in the thick and thin, the climbing of the hill, the descending and everything, we thank you, O God, for all that they have passed through, and your grace that has given them all the victories. To you be glory and the honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, in this our time, this terrible age especially, Lord, some couples don't even last a year before they will fall apart. And some 10, some 20, some 25, they will still separate. Happening across the broad, those who go to church, those who doesn't go to church, it happens everywhere. It has to be your grace that will keep a couple together for such a long, not just a management matter, but something that your grace work out by itself as an example to the flock. We are grateful unto you. We pray that you continue to be with them and protect them and give them good health. Lord, that the rest, oh God, time that we have to spend on this earth may be sweeter than the past one, Father. We ask, oh God, that you bless them with all that they have need of, oh Father. Lord, to enjoy this life that is left, oh God. When all said and done is over and this life is ended, that we all have to assemble at your feet. Lord, their desire, no doubt, is that the family will not be broken. Lord, both they, the grandchildren, everything, may you walk upon everyone, Father. Lord, that day to be a great union, dear Father. Thank you, King of Glory. All that we have asked of you tonight, the faith we have need of to hold your unchanging hand, Lord, because we have spoken to you, who is not a disappointment, who is not a failure. Give us such faith, Heavenly Father. Take away doubt, unbelief, fear, double-mindedness, and whatsoever instrument of the enemy, may you take them out of us, Father. Thank you, King of Glory. Lord, as we go back to our homes, you brought us safely. May you take us back home safely. Give us a peaceful night rest also. The rest of the week is your hand. May you be with us, students, workers, and business people. On Friday, by your grace, when we hope to come for night vigil, we pray that we quicken as many as are able to be here. Help us, O God, to do a service for you, and Lord, to enjoy your presence also. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Once again, bless your servant you have used for this service, replenishing for the virtue that has left him. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. The Lord bless you. We want to congratulate the pastor and his wife for 50 years of wedding anniversary. We are grateful to the Lord for such testimonies that we have with us. Even people in the message, sometimes we hear some stories that is not very fun. But we are grateful to God that the Lord has been gracious to us here. God bless you. May the Lord keep them strong and healthy and give them everything they desire until He's coming. As we have said earlier, that God spare our lives this Friday, we hope to come for another online prayer meeting for this month. Since this weekend is free, let's quickly make use of it. As many as could that are free and ready to come, you are welcome. God bless you. Shall we rise? Two. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. Sorry, I saw him before, but at this time I've Bracken, God bless you. It's quite some time, God bless you. We're happy to have you. I saw him briefly, but as I stand there, so the eye is not seeing much again. You're welcome. All right. Jesus, we to charge of sorrow and of woe. bless you till we meet on Friday. Precious name. Oh, us. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Oh, Baba, I'm joy and take the name of Jesus ever as I shoot from every stem. Stand up. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how he fills our souls with joy. When his loving arms receive evil, and his songs have gone step one. Oh, precious name, precious name.